offering a humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, a series wherein we study Swami's discourses. And if you've been following our series, you will know that we are studying the 1990 summer course, the summer showers in Vrindavan. As it happens every week, I have the company of Brother Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai to host this show for you. And as we've had the pleasure in the past couple of weeks, we still have with us Bhagya sir from the university, honorary professor of Department of Management Studies. We are in the middle of the 12th discourse in that series, the discourse named Self-Knowledge. So to dwell more into the topic, I invite Bhagya sir and Sai Prakash. Sai Ram to both of you.
Sai Ram Prem.
Sai Ram Prem.
Sai Ram sir. Self-knowledge, I mean, we've spoken so much about it. We've heard Bhagya sir speak about it so much. So I think maybe we should start with something we promised our listeners we will tell them last week, but somehow we missed it. You were saying that on one occasion that you asked Swami that you wanted to know from the avatar how to make use of the avatar. And Swami very beautifully said the only way is through loving the avatar. And then you also said that Swami elucidated what it means to love Swami. I think we should begin with that. There's three aspects of love.
Okay, I think just to excuse me, to put it back, two answers Swami gave. One was love, God is love, live in love. Second, ahamkaram, aham plus akar, which actually the discourses deal with that. Let me dwell more on love. On a different occasion, we asked Swami, what is divine love? He said, which I mentioned last time also, it has three apexes. He drew a triangle in the air and he said, one is selflessness.
Okay.
Now, Swami has a number of times expressed what is divine love is. He says, I don't expect anything from anything from anyone at any time. My duty is only to give and give and give. This little diversion, once Swami said that Rama had taken three vows. One is one word, one arrow, one wife.
Right.
Similarly, Swami said he has taken three vows. Number one is he has come to always give and give and give. Never take anything. Never ask, demand anything from anyone. That is one. Second, he said, this avatar has not come to destroy the wicked. It has come to guide everyone and transform even the wicked ones with love. Love will be the instrument. Third one, he said, if once avatar gives some promise to a devotee, even if devotee forgets, Swami will not forget. He will be given what has been promised to him. Now coming to the love aspect, Swami has done so many, I don't think we have to narrate, day in, day out, continuously 85 years, even now in his omnipresence, he has been doing for all of us out of love. Once we prayed to Bhagwan, Swami, please talk to the MBA boys. He said, see, I don't know business. MBA, Master of Business Administration, I don't know business. Business, you give and also you receive or take. I know only giving, giving, giving. Never expecting anything from anyone. We, so many students come and pass. It's very easily said, free education. But you just imagine, every student, so many lakhs of rupees are spent on him throughout his stay. After passing out, Swami doesn't say that at least little bit you should give back. Never. Similarly, look at the teachers. We receive all UGC skills from the university, Swami's university. He takes care of everything and he doesn't expect anything in return. On the contrary, He says, I'll take care of your all problems. Physical, mental, spiritual, financial, social, all the problems he takes place, takes care by giving and giving and giving. So there is no end to enlarge the component of the selflessness in Bhagwan. Best example, again, of another apex which of the triangle which I said is changeless. Swami says that my love doesn't depend upon what financial background you come here for, from, or what you do for me, or for society. No. Once I start giving you love, it will continue. Whatever position, whatever place you are, time, space, doesn't come in the way. This reminds me one very nice story. One student, he was so-called form boy, and not that the others are formless. In fact, we want to realize that we are formless. So this is the terminology used by some of the students, that he is a form boy, he is out of form, he is deformed, he reformed. Swami ultimately comes to reform us so that we realize that we are all formless. Okay, so coming back to this boy, he was used to help Swami in Swami's room. He somehow was pulled by his vasanas. He went out on some small issues and he got married. He went on the pretext that he has to take care of his parents and all. Many times it happens. It might be element of truth also in that, which compelled him to leave Swami and physically and be away. Then I was seated on that day, darshan time. Boy comes back after 20 years. He told the volunteer that I am so and so. Volunteers would have been changed and this and that. And since whatever he was telling, they made him sit in the front, in the general devotee side. Swami came out for darshan. Swami looked at him and deeply the boy understood, Swami has recognized me. After finishing the darshan, Swami went to this boy, addressed him with first name, how are you, so and so. He got up on his knees. Swami, and he said, how's your mother? Swami asked the boy. Swami, my father passed away last year. I know. That's why I asked you, how's your mother? Did I ask you, how's your father? So he got shocked. He said, Swami, I thought that I have left and you will not even recognize me and you still know what is happening in my life. He said, my love doesn't depend upon where you are. Then further, Swami asked, how's your daughter? Then he said, Swami, he said, Sira, you went away from here. Your father passed away, you didn't tell me. You got married, you didn't tell me. You got a daughter, you didn't tell me. And this is the name of your daughter. Yes, Swami. But who you think gave name to your daughter? Go and ask your wife. Did I not tell her in her dream that keep this name? Boy was just, crying, and he was, washing Swami's feet with his tears. And so there he said, Swami, please forgive me. He said, Swami told him, my love will never change. You people, no, Swami, I never thought this, and that is your imagination. So this was a wonderful example of Swami's love, which is changeless. Let us come to the fearlessness of divine love. Fearlessness doesn't mean that you become fearless and you go on the ground and whosoever comes, you can give a slap or do any nonsense, illegal things, and you say that I am now free because I love everyone, so I am I have no fear. No, that's not a fearlessness. Again, I think I will narrate another incident. In Kodaikanal once, Swami used to be very close physical proximity and interaction. So one such interaction, Swami was giving an informal discourse to all the participants. And many VIPs used to come. One of the senior minister, I don't want to give more details, his daughter was also called to join. And she had a small boy, about 3 years old. The boy was very naughty. And Swami made her sit along with the other ladies. Swami started giving a discourse. Then, Swami started, this boy was restless. Obviously, the three-year-old boy, what will he understand of a discourse? Swami, he signaled the lady that, please, control your child. She couldn't. In fact, when she was trying to calm him down, he was shouting more and more. Then, Swami found it disturbing for all the other listeners. Swami, angrily, apparent anger, told him, get out! And lady had to go out. Then Swami said, see, my love, it is out of my love that I wanted to teach her that she should control her child's behavior. And she should have a common sense when Swami is speaking. If child is not under control, she should go out. I have love for all of you. Love doesn't mean only tell only goody-goody. When there's any deficiency, that also I should point out. I am not scared whether it's a minister or a prime minister or a president of any country or richest person in the world. My love is same for all of you, and I am not scared of anyone. Because I love you. So these are the three aspects of selfless, changeless and fearless.
Amazing. In fact, this reminds me of another incident in Kodaikanal when we were with Swami. It's all a part of the drama, and one of the VIPs got up and he told Swami, Swamiji's students were not behaving properly and all that. And Swami took everyone to task. And Swami gave us a thorough thrashing. Swami said, you boys have brought you all the way here and no gratitude. You are not behaving properly. What is the use of giving so much of love to you and all that? And we were feeling very upset and very sad that we have hurt, pained Swami. And next morning Swami came and Swami said, see, I will not go and stand on the road and scold anybody on the road. I am doing this to you because I feel I have the right over you.
Wow. Wonderful.
I have that hakku, that right. I have that right over you. So I take the liberty. This is also with love.
Love. Right? Correction is also with love.
That's also with love.
Very good.
So, as you are narrating that incident, another incident comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
This happened during the Bharat Cultural Meet. You know?
Yeah, I remember.
So there was a dancer who came here, a professional dancer who came here many years later. In fact, I think last year or so. And he was with a dance group, boys, and he was narrating his experience. First time when he came to Swami, it was during the Bharat Cultural Meet.
Okay.
And he had performed dance, and the next day Swami had called only him and one more musician into the interview room. And he is a well-reputed and a very famous musician. And the moment Swami came in, Swami was so angry with him. Swami said, bad boy. And this person was totally shocked. He says, nobody speaks to a renowned musician in that way. But Swami was like, bad boy. And Swami was saying that bad habits, bad thoughts, bad this thing. And he was like, even a father wouldn't, you know, be so strict with son. Swami was absolutely, you know, very, very strong, sharp. Very sharp and strong on his words. And then he was wearing a chain, Swami told, bad chain. He removed it, of course, materialized a chain and gave him. And then Swami told him, of course, that was an advice for him, where Swami said, you went to the stage without practice.
Oh,
you are not respecting the audience. This is very, very... Then he, of course, he broke down. Because...
It was a fact.
And he broke down and Swami said, never do such things. And that person was saying, I am so surprised that the musician continued to come to Swami, because the way Swami took him to task, wow, it would have been...
That is divine love.
Absolutely fearless. Mm. Absolutely
wonderful
fearless.
Wonderful example.
I means, to the extent, if you imagine... He is not bothered whether because of his shouting at you, you leave him and go.
Oh yes.
Because he has done it with pure love.
Yes.
That's all.
And I think that is a good example of describing what divine love is.
Really. In fact, that's what even Pandit Shivakumar Sharma said in one of the interviews which he gave us, you know.
Mm.
He said that there was a day when his name was announced for a concert.
Mm.
And then Swami got up and he said, the concert is not to be held today. And the other musicians who were with him were offended. He said, here is Pandit Shivakumar Sharma. Pandit ji is such a world-renowned artist. And how could the Sai Baba do this to him? His name is announced. Purnachandra Hall is filled with people. And Swami is just walking up like this. And they found that Pandit Shivakumar Sharma was absolutely normal. So it seems they all went to him and said, this is not right. We cannot accept such a thing being done to you. So he said, no. Swami has every right to do that. And these people were not ready to calm down. The next day, Swami calls him for an interview and Swami said, I wanted to speak to you and then later I want to schedule. But what Pandit Shivakumar Sharma was saying was this very thing. He said, I am a world-renowned artist for the rest of the world. I come here for this. For this treatment.
Wonderful. Nobody else can dare correct him or do that type of...
He said, I have given myself to my guru and he is killing the ego and this is what I have come here for.
Fantastic.
I cannot react badly.
Again, aspect of love, divine love.
Right.
It's like a hailstorm.
And I think that's the beauty, you know, whenever we have received that kind of love from Swami, whether when Swami spoke to us, when Swami turned his face away and went away, he made us think. He made us ask vital questions. You know, Swami is talking about self-knowledge, asking the right questions. Invariably, you know, we are convinced that Swami loves us. But when you go through periods like this, phases like this, you wonder, why is this happening?
Mm.
And that is when you actually delve into the nature of true love, nature of pure love. And I'm sure we all come to know how fearless Swami is, how selfless Swami is.
In fact, speaking on that last discourse, I think we concluded with the clip where Swami is talking about aham.
Right.
And then he says, aham plus akara is ahankara. And he has taken so many students to task at different points of time, said, ego, 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 ego. And I think in one of the series, in this discourses, Swami has said that ego is subtler than even buddhi.
Correct.
So he says, after buddhi comes ahankara, then you go to the atma. Mm. So it's a very subtle thing. And as I think you mentioned last time, the spiritual ego is all the more dangerous.
So. But on ego, that's very, for the listeners, benefit of the listeners, I had asked Swami one question. Swami, what is ego? I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it is with you, in you. But Swami, how to identify?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple formula. If you consider that you are the body, that is ego.
Oh.
So simple. Identification with the body or the attachment to the body is ego. Body means not just physical body, physical body and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The physical and then subtle, mental. That is ego. Once you are convinced fully that you're not the body and the mind, ego is already gone. But that doesn't mean that you will stop working.
Mm.
just like if you recollect the story, Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he had told one disciple that, see, you don't react to any situation. In fact, he had told, the story was on the snake, cobra, that the villagers are afraid of you, so you don't bite anyone. It's not good for you. Then he used to come out and for his food, but people will throw stones. They know that he's not going to do anything. So some other occasion when Ramakrishna Paramahansa was passing under that tree and saw this snake, told him, "Are, what have you made of yourself? Master, you told me not to react, not to bite." He said, "I told you not to bite, but I never told you not to hiss. You can hiss, but don't bite." So even if you identify yourself that you are not the body and the mind, you are the pure self, Atma, you will continue all your activities. Nobody else will come to know that you have understood the truth. Ordinarily, but when it comes to certain moments, your responses, your reaction to the situation will be far different from the ordinary person. Because you know that Atma is every item in the world is a manifestation of unmanifest Atma. So you will not cheat anybody, you will not, even if externally you show anger, it will be just a superficial, not deep from the heart. You will not, try to deceive a person. You will not put him down. All these things will automatically come as a change in your personality. Other people will realize, you will think that that is true. I am not the only person. Everybody is the embodiment of same Atma. So that great change comes too. In fact, you will do your duty so diligently, so efficiently, because you don't expect anything in return. How can you expect anything from your own self when you do a good work? While doing a good work, you enjoy. That's it. So, that is the benefit. There are many, a nice way to understand. But the prerequisite is that one has to carry out the sadhana to reach that goal. Once you reach the goal, then there's no difference between so-called realized and unrealized, not realized. Why I say so-called realized? There is no separate entity who can say, "I have realized." What he has realized is that there is only one self. All of us are manifestation of that self. There is no individual separate person, entity, to say that I am the self-realized person. He is expressing his ignorance.
Talking about this, I think one of the ways Nisargadatta Maharaj used to put off the people who come to him. Yes. They would come and ask him, "Master, how do I realize the self?" And he would say, "Who wants to know?" So they used to think that he's asking a question which will put them off, but actually he's asking a question which is very, very essential. He says, "Find out who wants to know."
In fact, Raman Maharishi's method also was on self-inquiry. Who am I?
Right.
Anything comes, inquire. Who am I? To whom the thought is coming? Who wants it? Then automatically mind will shut.
I think this idea of understanding what ego is itself is a very important point that is spiritual, because we always associate ego with arrogance and pride. But in fact, you can be egoistic even by being humble.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, as Swami would say, even self, an inferiority complex is also an expression of
ego.
Ego, because you are thinking that I cannot do this or I am not capable of this.
Yeah, once a very nicely, very senior devotee, before starting, he said, "I pray to Swami, Swami, speak through me." And okay, good, nice way to start. Then he said, "Swami," he told the listeners that, "See, whatever good comes out from my mouth, it is directly from Swami. And if there are any mistakes, please forgive me. It is my mistake." Then Swami next time caught him. "What do you think, huh?" Whatever, once you say that whatever comes out from your mouth, it is my will, then how can you say that only this is God's will and this is your will? Everything is my will. Surrender totally. Don't. So, even if, believe me, if somebody comes and you bash him, it's also part of the divine drama. You know immediately, next moment, hey, it's a drama. In a drama, you have to play a part which may not be favorable or acceptable to some other people. But it is a drama. Once you understand it's a drama, nothing will touch you.
Beautiful. I think we should play the clip
okay,
and see what Swami has.
I think Swami stopped at the point, as you said, where he was saying
Ahankara.
Aham, aham.
Mm.
Okay, this is, I think, the third clip in that discourse.
ఈ అహం దేహంతో తాదాత్మ్యం పొందినప్పుడే ఇది అహంకారంగా మారుతున్నది.
When this aham identifies itself with the body, then it becomes ahankara or ego.
ఈ అహంకారము ప్రాకృతమైనటువంటి భావము.
This ahankara or ego is the worldly
అహం, దివ్యమైనటువంటి వాణి.
This aham is the divine voice.
దీనిని కేవలం పాండిత్యము చేత కాని దీశక్తితే కాని గుర్తించటం అసాధ్యము.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దిస్ డివైన్ వాయిస్ ఎయిదర్ త్రూ స్కాలర్షిప్ ఆర్ త్రూ ఇంటలెక్ట్.
ఎంత గొప్ప పండితుడైనప్పటికీ దృష్టియే లేకుండినా వస్తువును చూడలేడు.
హౌఎవర్ గ్రేట్ ఎ స్కాలర్ మే బి, ఇఫ్ హీ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ది ఐ సైట్ హీ కెనాట్ సీ ఎన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్.
పాండిత్యము తెలియనప్పటికీ, పావురుడైనప్పటికీ కనులున్నటువంటి వాడు వస్తువును స్పష్టంగా చూడగలుగుతాడు.
ఎ పర్సన్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ స్కాలర్షిప్, ఇఫ్ హీ హాస్ ది ఐ సైట్ హీ కెన్ సీ ది ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ వెరీ క్లియర్లీ.
వేద శాస్త్ర ఇతిహాస పురాణములన్నీ కూడా పఠించినటువంటి యొక్క మహాశాస్త్రజ్ఞుడైనప్పటికీ నిద్రయందున్నప్పుడు జాగ్రత్త ప్రపంచమును ఏమాత్రం కూడా చూడలేడు.
A person who would have mastered all the Vedas, Shastras, Puranas, etc., when he is asleep, he does not know the world which is existing outside of him.
Kani melukunnatvanti vyakti ye shastramu chedagipoyinappatikini emi teliyakapoyinappatikini jagratta panchamunu chudagalugutunnadu.
But a person in the waking state, he might not have studied any of these scriptures, but he can experience the outer world and he can see.
Ade vidhamugane manavudu gurtinchaleinatundi yokka aatma shaktini aatma gyanamunu kudanu chitta shuddhi cheta gurtimpapadutunnadu.
In the same way, a person with a pure heart would be able to experience and realize the power of atma and the knowledge of atma.
Sakala shastra chayamu veda vedangamu jeevi manasu teranu chilchalevu teraku ivala jeevi devudavala nundu తెరకు ఇవ్వల జీవి దేవుడవ్వల నుండు కార్యమిలను అవల కారణంబు కార్యమిలను కార్యమిలను అవల కారణంబు. మనస్సుకు ఈవల నుండి చుచ్చినంత వరకు మనకు జగత్తే గోచరిస్తుంది. మనస్సును దాటి ఆవల చేర్చిమా ఆత్మ గుర్తింపబడు.
యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ యు ఆర్ అండర్ ది స్పెల్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ యు విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు జస్ట్ సీ ఓన్లీ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్. ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూ ట్రాన్సెండ్ ది మైండ్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ ఎ గ్లింప్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అదర్ వరల్డ్.
కనుక మనం అనుభవించేటువంటి జ్ఞానములు కాని అనుభవించేటువంటి యొక్క అనుభూతులు కాని సర్వము కూడాను మనస్సుకు ఇవరి నుండి మనం అనుభవిస్తున్నామే కాని మనస్సుకు ఆవల చేరలేదు.
ఆల్ ది నాలెడ్జ్ విచ్ వీఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ అండ్ ఆల్ అవర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ఆర్ ది విత్ ఇన్ ది స్కోప్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ అలోన్. దే హావ్ నాట్ బీన్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్.
సముద్రంలో చేరినటువంటి యొక్క నదికి ప్రత్యేక రూపనామములు ఉండవు.
వన్స్ ఎ రివర్ గెట్స్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇంటు ది ఓషన్, it loses its name and
ఎప్పుడు సముద్రంలో చేరిపోయిన తన యొక్క రూపనామమును కోల్పోతుంది.
Once it merges into the ocean, It loses its name.
Samudram okkate nilustundi.
It will be only one ocean which will be
remained. Adiye brahma vit brahmaiva bhavati.
That is
brahma tattvamunu kanukonutaku brahma jnaname kavali. Atma tattvanni artham chesukonutaku atma jnaname kavali.
If you want to understand Brahma, knowledge of Brahma is essential. If you want to understand Atma, knowledge of Atma is essential.
Kanuka manavattamulo Atma tattvanni manu gurtinchalani aasapadetuvanti sadhakudu భౌతికమైనటువంటి యొక్క క్రియల చేత ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని పొందటం అనేటువంటిది ఇది కేవలము మానసిక వృత్తులే.
ఇఫ్ ఏ పర్సన్ వాంట్స్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ అండ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ది ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ, ఇఫ్ హీ వాంట్స్ టు అప్రోచ్ త్రూ ది ఫిజికల్ థింగ్స్, వెల్ హీ విల్ బి రీచింగ్ ఓన్లీ డెల్యూజన్ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్.
ఆత్మ సర్వత్రా ఉంటుందా?
ఆత్మ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
ప్రపంచమంతా ఉండేటువంటిదంతా కూడాను ఈ ఆత్మ చైతన్యమే.
వాట్ యు ఫైండ్ ఇన్ ది ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ది కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్
కేవలం దేహం ఉండంత మాత్రమే మనకు గోచరిస్తుందని భ్రమించటము ఇది కేవలం మానసిక కల్పమే.
ఇట్ ఈస్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది డెల్యూజన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ టు థింక్ దట్ వీ కెన్ సీ ది వరల్డ్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ వీఆర్ అలైవ్.
ఘటము ఉండినా లేకపోయినా,
వెదర్ దెర్ ఇస్ దిస్ బాడీ ఆర్ దిస్ బాడీ డజంట్, వెదర్ దెర్ ఇస్ ది పార్ట్ ఆర్ పార్ట్ డజంట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్,
ఈ ఘటమునందు జలము ఉండినా ఉండకపోయినా,
వెదర్ దెర్ ఇస్ వాటర్ ఇన్ ద పాట్ ఆర్ నో వాటర్ ఇన్ ద పాట్,
సూర్య ప్రతిబింబము సర్వత్రా ఉంటూనే ఉన్నది.
ది రేస్ ఆఫ్ ది సన్ ఆర్ ఎవ్రీవే.
ఘటము ఘటములోని జలము ఉండినప్పుడు మనకు ప్రత్యక్షంగా గోచరించవచ్చునే, కానీ అది లేనప్పుడు ఇది లేదు అని చెప్పుటకు వీలు కాదు.
వెన్ దెర్ ఇస్ పాట్ అండ్ వాటర్ ఇన్ ద పాట్ యు మే సీ ది రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది సన్ ఇన్ దాట్, బట్ just because there is no pot and no water, to say sun doesn't exist is ignorance.
Karuka deham undina manasu undina leka lekapoyina atma akkada unnadi.
Whether there is the body or the mind or whether it is not there, still atma exists.
Aithe ee naadu neevu anubhavinchetuvanti anubhootulu deeniki sambandhinchinatuvanti,
what are the experiences which you are undergoing now?
దేహం అనేటువంటి పాత్రలో మనస్సు అనేటువంటి జలం ఉండటం చేత అందులో నీవు ఏదో ఒక భ్రాంతి చేత నీ యొక్క రూపాన్ని నువ్వు చూడగలుగుతున్నావు.
యాజ్ దేర్ ఈస్ ది పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీ అండ్ ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ వాటర్ ఇన్ సైడ్ ద బాడీ, యు ఆర్ గెటింగ్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ డిస్టోర్టెడ్ రిఫ్లెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఓన్ రియల్ సెల్ఫ్.
కానీ అది సత్యము అని విశ్వసిస్తామా అంటే అది సత్యము కాదు.
Suppose you want to believe that as the truth, when it is really
it is nee pratibimbame kaadani cheppudaku veelu kaadu,
it is your own reflection but it is different.
Saachat pratibimbam kaadu
but it is not a true reflection.
Yetlanaga vidyarthulaku chakkaga artham ayyavallaru.
You may ask how is it this can be explained to the students thus.
Jalamulo nee mukhamunu neevu chustunnaa.
You see your own face reflected in the water.
Kani vidyarthulara meeru chakkaga gurtinchatam ledu. Mai mukhame andu kanipistundadi kani idi kevalam ulta seedaga untundadi. Left eye right eye ga kanipistundadi, right eye left eye ga kanipistundadi.
You think your real reflection is seen in the water. It is not true. Your right eye is seen as the left eye in your image in the water and left eye as the right eye. There is this kind of reversing of the power.
కనుక ఇది సత్యం ఎట్లవుతుంది?
When this is so, how can this be truth?
నీ యొక్క భ్రాంతి చేత ఇది నా యొక్క ప్రతిబింబం అని విశ్వసిస్తున్నావు.
On account of your own delusion, you think that
దేహం కూడా భ్రాంతితో కూడినటువంటిదే.
The body is full of delusion.
కనుక దివ్యతత్వాన్ని మనం గుర్తించాలనుకుంటే దేహము మనకు అక్కరలేదు, మనసు అక్కరలేదు.
If you want to really experience and realize the divine principle, body is not required, mind is not required.
Aithe deenini saraga artham cheskune anta varaku nu dehendriya mano buddhulu chakkaga manam poshinchukovali.
But until you really understand this divine principle, there is need for taking care of your body, mind.
Deham undali ఇంద్రియములు ఉండాలి, మనస్సు ఉండాలి, బుద్ధి ఉండాలి.
యూ షుడ్ హ్యావ్ బాడీ, మైండ్, సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
అయితే వాటిని సక్రమమైనటువంటి మార్గంలో మనము అనుభవించాలి.
బట్ యూ షుడ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ అండ్ ఎంజాయ్ దెమ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాపర్ వే.
ఆ విధంగా సక్రమమైన మార్గంలో దీనిని అనుభవించకుండా, ప్రవేశపెట్టకుండా, మనం పెడమార్గంలో వీనిని ప్రవేశపెట్టినప్పుడే మనకు అనేక విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క బాధలకు, దుఃఖములకు, విచారములకు గురి అవుతున్నాం.
ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ పుట్టింగ్ దెమ్ టు ద ప్రాపర్ యూజ్ అండ్ ఎంజాయింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఎక్విప్మెంట్ ప్రాపర్లీ, ఇఫ్ యూ మిస్యూజ్ దెమ్ టు ద రాంగ్ యూజ్, యూ గెటింగ్ టు ఆల్ సార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ట్రబుల్స్, ప్రాబ్లమ్.
ఇవన్నీ కూడా కేవలం భ్రమల చేతనే సంభవిస్తున్నాయి.
All these experiences are arising out of the delusion only.
What a powerful clip.
I think Swami is very clearly indicating the process, how the changes go in, and how clearly he is telling body and the mind is required. Without that, you can't experience. But once you experience, then body and the mind is not required. So it is a wonderful, the key that we have to keep our body in balance, which will not require too much of attention. We don't have to pamper our body. We cannot punish our body. Keep it in the balance till you reach the goal that has been given only for that purpose. So beautifully brought out.
I just think even these examples of the water in the pot,
yes,
these are all very Upanishadic examples.
Yes.
And I'm sure they are all from the Upanishads. Basically, as somebody was saying, Swami is not explaining the Gita. He is giving the Gita. He is giving the Upanishads. He is actually teaching the Upanishads again.
I remember in Vrindavan, just before Swami's discourse during one of the festivals, a senior devotee spoke before him. And he said, we are so lucky that we are receiving the Sai way from Swami himself. The Sai way is going to be the path of redemption. When Swami spoke after that, Swami said, see, this devotee, out of his love for me, is saying that Sai way and all that, there is nothing like Sai way. This is the eternal way. This is the Sanatana. This is the most, this has been given to you by ancients and for ages and ages. I am only come to reiterate it. There is nothing new about what I am saying.
Very true.
Sir, I just had one thought. You know, Swami is bringing out these so emphatically that you have to live in this atmic consciousness. You have to, and you partly answered this question before. But if a person actually experiences that oneness, what will his state be? If he experiences oneness with the Atma, if he experiences that unity, what will he be like? What is his experience going to be like?
Actually, there's no external difference, what you observe. When he, with a firm conviction, realizes what he is and what everyone is, he will not make any distinction between the people. And for a moment, if he is not matured enough, he will feel dejected in the world. Because nothing is of any value. It's like this. Depending upon what he has done in the past, suppose he has collected a lot of knowledge. He has been on this spiritual path, maybe guided properly or even misguided. Many times they think that, you know, acquiring some siddhis, powers, so he has become very spiritual, even control over five elements, creating fire or things like that. They think this is actually the form of ego. Now, supposing he is an ordinary person, he has accumulated thousands of 1,000 rupee notes. And suddenly, government declares that these are invalid. What will be his state? Whole life he has been collecting money, earning, amassing, and suddenly he finds he is zero. So similarly, sadhaka, when he is on that path, when he realizes what is the real, what is the ultimate truth, then he will be nothing. Because nothingness is everything. Everything has come out of nothingness. And if he continues or he seeks the guidance from within or guru without, his behavior will change. He automatically will pour out love because he will not find any person different from him. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean that if he's a manager in an organization and he finds that a peon or a watchman or a sweeper, he will not catch him and, oh, you are God and come and occupy my chair and I press your feet and what you want, oh God, Lord. No.
Mm.
Let the people do their, perform their roles as given to them, but internally he will not treat them other or separate from him. Just like in our body, there all the things are required. Body has the cells. If you analyze DNA or, okay, let us take only the cell of the body, it is same whether it is taken from the nose, whether it is taken from the eyes, tongue, hand, feet, or any part of the body.
Mm.
Now, the group of cells in our body, same cells, will perform the function of hearing. Some perform the function of tasting. Like that. Now, supposing the person, he is in a room and outside he wants to listen, he will not put just his hand outside the window and he will be able to understand because the cells are same. If he has to hear, he has to put ear to the voice outside. Similarly, in the whole universe, all of us are the different cells, different group of cells of the one entity called the self with the capital S. So, having understood this, you will not create any obstruction or restriction or creating any problem for whatever is happening. Because you know, it's all his master plan, his drama. It's not real, but yet it is caused by reality. Then he will not have any difficulty in carrying out his day-to-day activity. Once I read in one book called Warriors of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
In that, lady gives the beautiful simile. Supposing you have been carrying a load on your head all along since childhood, and you think that it is part and parcel of me, part and parcel of my life. Some wise person, after several decades, makes you stop your walking. He said, wait, 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 what are you doing? Why are you carrying so much load? He said, no, it's part of me, it's me. You know, put your, this load from your head down on the floor. He does it. See how light you are. He said, really? It is not part of me. No. But I have been told that all along I have to carry it. Yes, you have to carry it with awareness. He said, oh, that's simple. I have to carry from here to there. It is not me. It is not part of me. Same thing, after you understand the reality, nothing will disturb you. You will carry on the same way. Person will not be able to find out. There are no, the specification of a realized person or otherwise. Simple.
So basically, even in the world today, there may be so many who are realized.
Exactly.
And who are just moving amongst.
That's it.
Beautiful.
But once you have understood, from the behavior of another realized person, you will be able to identify.
Okay.
And degree varies.
Exactly.
Of the evolution. Degree of the evolution.
There's a beautiful story which I think, I'm not sure whether it's Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's story or Ramana Maharshi's. They say that there is a man who is walking on the banks of a river and he sees that the river water is carrying with it a gold plate. So the moment he sees that gold plate, he jumps into the water, you know, tries to hold it, and then he realizes it's quite a large plate. So holding it, he's not able to swim. So with great difficulty, he's trying to swim and he's drowning because of that plate. Then suddenly some people tell him that, you know, just let go of the plate, that will save yourself. So finally, without any option, he lets go of the plate, comes to the bank, and he's sitting crying and crying and crying, my plate is gone, my plate is gone, my gold plate is gone. So the people who ask him to come back to the bank, they come and tell him, that plate was never yours. You have not lost anything. And then he realizes, oh, that's true. You know, it was never mine, and it was not mine to lose at all.
It reminds me of once a very beautiful thing. After I joined here, it's a personal thing, but I don't mind sharing. My elder sister, she had seen me that how, before joining here, how outside in the corporate world, I had a wonderful life, everything, chauffeur driven car, all whatever perks you can think of. So here, Swami makes us stay in an ashram, like an ashram. So she came to visit me. Seeing me, she started crying. That I have seen you live like a prince. What is this? You are living like a fakir. I said, yes. At that time, I was not happy. Now I am happy. What is fakir? Fakir is the one who has no fikr. There's no worries. So I'm very happy. What's your problem? Later on, she also realized, she said, yes, what you said was right.
The question is, how can you be happy?
That's it.
When we have to take care of so many things to be happy.
Beautiful.
Then going back to that analogy which Swami said, you know, of the pot and the water. It's very interesting because many people come and ask us, I've had many people asking, you know, what is the form of sadhana which Swami prescribes? You know, whether it is yoga or meditation, what form of meditation? Or is there anything which Swami prescribes? Because we often think that this body has to be done something with. You know, you have to do some contortion with the body or some kind of austerity the body and mind has to be put through. But that is something which Swami has challenged, not only in this discourse. Here Swami is saying that just make use of it in the right way. That's exactly what Swami said when he spoke about the senses and body. So it's very different thing Swami is telling us.
No, I think Swami very clearly brought out, he said all the sadhanas are for chitta shuddhi.
Yes.
Okay, taking the example a little at a larger scale, say water in the pond. You know that as we Swami said, body and the water inside body, vessel and water inside, ultimately you have to go to the bottom. You have to go where you are, where the self is. It's not physically lying there, but I'm just giving the simile. In a pond, you want to see the bottom of the pond. Two obstacles will come. Water, if it is dirty, you can't see its bottom. Even if water is pure, but if it is wavy, then also you can't see the bottom of the pond. So, only when the water is pure and steady, will you be able to transcend the water and go to the bottom. Similarly, with the mind. Swami said, chitta shuddhi is the only thing which you can do. You purify the mind and also make the mind steady. These are the two aspects of the mind which have to be controlled. So when you do that, mind is not separate from Atma. Mind itself is a part of Atma. It's an instrument or the medium through which the Atma operates. So operate, the principle is only one Atma. When it gets filtered through mind, it gives the different appearance. Similarly, the same example which Bhagavan said, that the pots and the sun, if the pot has is dirty water, then the reflection will be different. And if the pot, you just blow air along, the water will be wavy. Again, the reflection will be distorted. Reflection of the sun. Sun is one. We appear to be different because of the composition of the mind. That's why these sadhanas are required, to remove the impurities and maintain equanimity. Once we do that, that itself, you will see yourself, you don't have to see outside, that we are all embodiment of the same Atma.
Sir, when you are inquiring, suppose I am sitting and asking, who am I, who am I? So what is the benefit of that? Now, when I am asking, I am still asking through the mind. The mind is asking, who am I? It's analyzing.
Yeah.
And it's saying, okay, I am not this body. It's like a practical, it's like a theoretical fact that we tell to ourselves.
Yeah.
But how does it help us in the experience?
Extending the same example.
Mm.
Those who have sincerely been practicing, when you inquire, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
There will not be any answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you are getting the answer, that answer also comes from the mind.
Correct.
That I am so and so, I am realized, or I am very strong in this aspect or that. This is all mind.
Mm.
So when you ask sincerely, who is asking question?
Okay.
There will not be any answer. Mind will be calm.
Okay.
So that's one aspect of the chitta shuddhi, the steadiness.
Mm.
In fact, when the person sits quietly,
mm-hmm.
keep on inquiring, based on his vasanas,
mm-hmm.
he will have a tendency to go out. Out means mind. Mind mm-hmm. will go out.
Mm-hmm.
Mind will either think of brooding over past
mm-hmm.
or think of future.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for the mind to be in here and now without worrying about what had happened and without thinking of what is going to happen. Live in now. If you do that,
mm-hmm.
moment by moment,
okay,
then mind will get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It will not try to again go out of present now.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that repeatedly, as we have learnt, eating, walking, talking, writing, with practice,
mm-hmm.
it requires a lot of practice. That is called sadhana.
Okay.
Once you have reached a certain level, it will become natural to you. You don't have to put efforts. For instance, it's so simple. Since childhood, we have been told, I might have given the same example, but I will extend it a little more. If childhood, every person's mother, supposing she told me that you are a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to accept whatever mother has said. And when something happens, which is my language or my action, mother keeps reminding me, hey, you are a boy, not a girl. Do this, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So repeatedly with the mind, I'm reminding myself, hey, I'm a boy. I should be doing this, or I should not be doing this. I should use this as a pronoun, this and that, like that. Now, once it is well established in my mind,
mm-hmm.
whatever I do, whatever I say, whatever I think,
mm-hmm.
will I ever remind myself that I'm a boy? Because it is now my natural
mm-hmm.
thinking. If somebody tells me suddenly, hey, here is the news. You know, one person, male, 35-year-old, he delivered a baby. Eh, impossible.
Mm.
Because I know male will not have a capacity to deliver a baby.
Mm.
So like that, by these sadhanas,
mm-hmm.
once it gets established, initially you'll get glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
Repeatedly mind would like to have more and more of that.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, mind will get well established, then mind will not raise any question. Mind will go out from your process of sadhana. Then what remains? You are. Then nobody can. Once you are so convinced, even if somebody tells you, hey, come on man, you're not God. You will tell the same thing what Swami has been telling since childhood, that not only I am God, you are also God. You only don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Even if somebody cuts your throat out, still you will not come down from the fact that you are God. All of us are God. That conviction is required. And that conviction will not come just like that. So mind is utilized. Last time also we said, suppose a person on walking on the path, he gets a thorn pricked in his foot. He's walking barefooted in a jungle. He searches another thorn, removes the thorn which has gone inside, and throws both the thorns. He is free from the thorn.
Hmm.
So mind is used as an instrument to overcome the tendencies of the mind. Then he is free from the mind.
So what you're saying is that, what people associate with spiritual sadhana, like for example, be it kundalini, energy rising up, or Kriya Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, different paths. So you're saying that all these different paths are leading to the same goal.
Exactly.
And so if somebody is on the spiritual goal, like just for example, this experience of Kundalini rising, is that a mandatory? Or is it only when you follow a particular path that you feel these experiences? Or if you are following the path of self-inquiry, do you feel the energy rising? Is it actually a physical thing that happens, or is it just the bliss that you experience therefrom?
The mind is stop wasting its energies through all these outlets, either sense objects or thinking about past or enjoying the future, imagining the future. Then the energy which is there of the self,
okay,
it will bubble within you. You are not letting it out in any way. Then you will be always in bliss. Bliss doesn't mean that you will keep on smiling like a madcap. Bliss means no good or no bad. You are free from favorable, unfavorable, duality, right or wrong, high and low. For you, always the same. Maintaining equanimity under all circumstances will ultimate, with awareness, with understanding, will give you the bliss. Bliss is just a word we have given. There's nothing like which describes some characteristics or specifications of the bliss. Now, different paths will give you different milestones before you reach the goal. So, ultimately all the paths will merge in one, where you are nothing. Till body and the mind exist, there will be duality. True non-dual aspect is before the body was given to you and after the body dies. It's the body and the mind complex which takes the birth and the death, not you. You remain same. That's why Swami said, you are not dependent on body. But the tricky game is, if the body and the mind was not there, you didn't know what you are. The self or the awareness doesn't know what the self is. Only when the body is given, is a very fraud of the highest order, body and the mind is given to you, or consciousness is given, you feel you are a separate entity, and that's called ego. Identification with the body and the mind is called ego. And then again, that ego tries to find out what is the ultimate truth. So it's a tricky game. You can come out only with grace of God. But grace of God you learn only when you put very sincere efforts in the direction given by the Lord or a guru, or a guru within or a guru without. That's a game I have understood.
Beautiful, sir. Beautiful. So basically what you're saying is, even for hundreds of years, if anybody does penance or how many are births, he has to come to this conclusion.
Oh yes. Even small things to get rid of it, it may take births, thousands of births. Just I gave an example, I think, first of my discussion with you 2 weeks back, that Swami said that if you segregate, this is spiritual, this is worldly, even in 1,000 births, I will not give you. So I would have wasted 1,000 births just to understand that there is no separate worldly affairs and spiritual sadhana.
Sir, you were mentioning about one incident about a sage who was yearning for this. So, can you just narrate that, sir? Because that was very interesting.
Yeah. See, what had happened, some of our research scholars and some staff members had gone to Himalayas, especially this last 3 years period, to find out some more ultimate knowledge. So, they came across one Babaji, who was 400 years old. And he is aware of whatever previous births he has taken. He said he met a guru who had told him that I'll give you realization after 6 births. So this was that birth where he was expecting that guru. Guru had already left the body for him. But he said, no. Once Guru has said, I have firm conviction, and I have been here in Himalayas for last 400 years.
My God.
And he said, quite recently, from the white, bright white light,
mm-hmm.
it appeared and Guru got materialized.
Mm-hmm.
Then Guru told him that, yes, I had promised you. And he said, Guru, please give me ultimate which you had promised me. He said, yes, yes, I will give you. Now, last thing. Do one thing.
Mm.
You go and get the milk of lioness.
Mm-hmm. Milk of a lioness.
Yeah. And then I'll give you. He, just to give you his background, he had done so much of sadhana, acquired so many siddhis.
Mm-hmm.
He told the boys that I can create fire. I can create any materialization. All the five elements are in my hand. But still, the realization had not come. So, he went to the lioness. With his power, he converted lioness like a small puppy. And lioness was feeding her cubs. He pulled lioness from her with the ear and brought the lioness to Guru. Guru, here is lioness. You didn't tell me I should milk the lioness and bring it in a cup, or you want in front of you I should milk it. How do you want? I brought it. Now tell me. Then the Guru blasted this Babaji. That, don't you have shame? Is this what you learnt in several births? Lioness was feeding her children. You snatch innocent children from their feed and you brought her here? Shame on you. Release lioness. He was perplexed. My Guruji wanted it and now he's scolding me. Then he said, see, when you are bringing the lioness, because of his power, he could achieve anything. He said, but when you are bringing the lioness, supposing so many lions would have attacked you and killed you. He said, Swamiji, killed me? No, your body would have been finished. Then what was remaining in you? What would have remained in you? He gave a thought, deep thought. He said, now I understood. That I am before the body came, and if the body is not there, that is my true reality. So to make him realize, he asked him to do a lot of sadhana and gave him the maturity to accept the truth. It's just like such a complex problem. Solution we know, all of us is God, so what? But have we gone through the process to realize this? Only when you go through it, you will capture it and retain it. As I said that once we are told in childhood that I am a boy, then I have retained it. Now, so what? Nobody can delude me that whether you are a male or a female. Similarly, once you are matured and capture the state what you are, then you do whatever you want, nothing will touch you. That Babaji told the group of boys, don't waste your time in all these things, acquiring powers and siddhis and doing this and that. It's all temporary. It is of no use. It will never reach you the goal. Ultimately, you have to realize with a firm conviction internally with yourself. Of course, it will come with the grace of your guru within or guru without. And ultimately, the self will drag you towards itself. Then that's the end of the drama.
Beautiful, sir.
You know, there's a wonderful story I read some time back where there is this spiritual aspirant who's going into the forest. A yaksha comes in front of him and he says, I'm very pleased with you. I want to offer you a boon. He says, ask whatever you want. So he said, I should have enough wealth in my life. The yaksha is surprised knowing the background of this person that he's asking for money. So he says, yeah, I've granted that. Anything else you want? So he said, I want good health all my life. He said, okay, I grant all that. And then the yaksha asked him that you're a spiritual aspirant. Why aren't you asking for spiritual gifts? You're asking for worldly gifts. And then the man says, see, what comes easily will go easily. These are things I can afford to lose. But spiritual gifts I cannot afford to list, so I have to earn them.
Wow. Very right.
So in that sense, you know, we have to actually go through that whole process, and the beauty of being in the presence of a guru is that where there is a very narrow path which we take, and we always have the danger of falling either way. But as Swami said, told one of the devotees, he said, "I'm like that mother elephant which teaches the baby elephant to walk.
Very nice.
The mother elephant will keep the baby elephant within the four legs. And if it tries to stray this way, one kick from this side. Tries to stray that way, one kick from that side." He said, "That's how I take you through the path."
Wow.
And also, as you were saying, birth after birth, I was a bit rattled, but is it going to take so long? But Swami says in some of his discourses very beautifully, if a room is dark for 20 years, it just needs the click of the switch. And in an instant, it's full of light.
Yeah.
So with the grace of God, anything can happen instant. It can just happen in an instant.
Switching of light reminds me more deeper than this. Same. Maybe a different occasion Bhagavan would have said. One person said, "Swami, I've got a lot of problems in my life. Please solve them." He said, "No, you have to go through. I'm just a signpost. I'll guide you." "No, Swami, but you have to remove the problems from my path." He said, "No. Just imagine a hall filled with furniture, chairs and tables are lying zigzag here and there, and you have been asked to enter at one point door and exit from the other door. Now it's totally dark. Moment you go, you hit here, you hit there, and you fall, you again get up, but you have been told. So it takes very long time. What I do, I don't remove the obstacles from your path. I simply go and switch on the light. Now you know, find a way out yourself and get out of the hall." So that's exactly
beautiful.
He does the switching of light.
So your karma you have to undergo.
But I've given you the buddhi.
Correct.
Now you find the way out through all the obstacles.
Wonderful, sir.
I think, thank you, sir, for being with us. I think we'll conclude with that. The dear listener, time is running out and Vishu's here for the last segment of the day, so we won't take much time. But on behalf of all our listeners, we thank Bhagyasa for being with us, and thanks Swami for having given him for our show for the past couple of 3 weeks. And on behalf of Sai Prakash, I offer this humble offering of ours at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we'll meet you next week, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday Live. Till then, we'll leave you with Bishu for the last segment of the day outside, inside, deep inside. Jai Sai Ram.